Ryan, you guys have taken to YouTube to utilize bringing Infringement Festival to reality this year, but you've had a couple of road bumps since you started the festival a little bit last week. Tell me a little bit, how's that gone and how are you doing now?
Well, I wanted to avoid YouTube to begin with. I just didn't want to have to deal with any sort of censorship or any problems we'd have, so we're streaming a lot of stuff off WNYmusic.com, which is a website that I run. It took us a couple days to change the upload limit so we could actually fit our files in, and then that didn't work. And then I'm like, okay, let's try something different. So then we tried Google Drive, and we found out that you can embed stuff from Google Drive into web pages, but you're extremely limited with the amount of viewers you can have and how much you can use it. So then we moved to YouTube, and I uploaded the day two video around 11 o'clock on Friday morning, and I didn't hear anything from YouTube until 6:15, which is 45 minutes before the event's supposed to go up, and they're telling me that there are three songs that usually if something's covered by copyright, you can use it, you just can't monetize it on YouTube. But there are certain artists, the Beatles, anything from the musical Hamilton, really popular things like that, that you just can't use. And we had three of those in one video. And so I immediately just went, okay, mute the song, and I hit process. And processing the first song took about 5 hours. Processing the second song took about 6 hours. And then the following morning it was ready. But they certainly take their time with these things. So I've definitely learned a lesson about making sure we get our videos up a little earlier. So we don't have any problems like that again.
And how has it been interacting with artists during this pandemic and able to put on this festival?
Everyone's been actually really great to work with. I set a deadline. Almost everyone kind of hit the deadline, you know, right on the head. We probably, out of the 66 submissions we had in music, I'm going to guess about 2/3 of them submitted videos, which is definitely a higher percent than I thought it would be. But no, I mean, I started doing Infringement about 3 years ago, and one of the first jobs I had to do was I had to call all the acts and confirm them. And as someone who's a little social anxious, it made me nervous. But as I started calling people, I realized, you know, everyone was nice. And I, you know, when you deal with musicians, that's not always the case. But a lot of these musicians have been a part of the festival before. They know the work that goes into it. And they also know that it's completely volunteer run. So I think because of all those things combined, they're always quite easy to deal with.
So you have these acts on YouTube and events there. One of the things I got to imagine that's good for you is you can archive all of this now too. It's an easier way to keep track of everything you've done for Infringement Festival, right?
Oh yeah, I think that for me that's like the greatest silver lining of all of this. Since I've been working with Infringement Festival, I like trying to bring in young music students and people so they can kind of get some industry experience before they graduate college. So I've actually been speaking at classes at Fredonia over the last 2 years. And, you know, a lot of the time I got to find playlists. I have to search for all these videos in different places. You know, everyone uses their own website for it. And YouTube's search is just, it's ridiculous to try and actually find things. So actually having one festival in one place where everyone can find it, I think is fantastic. And I'm hoping it'll kind of show people a little more what we're about and, you know, get people more interested in the coming years.